Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to NJPW Pro Wrestling Review. I am your co-host, Andre C. Right over here, it's the very happy princess herself. It's Melba. How you doing, Melba?
I'm doing great, Andre. I am doing great today. I had a great shoulder day at the gym. I had a great time being petty at the gym, too. It was great. Had some fun making some people's lives miserable. That doesn't sound too good, does it?
I know the context, so it doesn't sound bad to me, but I know the context of it all.
There are some very stinky people and some very inconsiderate people who had some inconsiderate things done back to them, courtesy of Queen Petty right here. How are you doing today, my friend?
I'm pretty darn good. Been up for a couple hours now. No, I've been up for a few hours now. Tried to watch some New Japan, because as we record this, the second day of the New Japan Cup has happened. Tried to watch this morning, but got distracted doing other things, prepping stuff for Japanese wrestling update and other things. So just getting prep stuff done, and you know, you get distracted. So, but went out, got some groceries. You know, good day so far. Gonna get to hang out with tonight as we record this Thursday. Tonight we get to hang out with you, Andreas and Kat at the TELUS World of Science here in Edmonton.
Yes, we are attending the Dark Matters After Dark show, which is usually an adult orientated event. So they typically have certain things going on, like social media stuff. They've also had like a science of alcohol. This month, we are discovering the science of sex. So that'll be interesting.
Yeah.
To attend with you.
With friends. Yeah.
Well, knowing the group that we go with, it's gonna be a riot. We're gonna have some witty commentary. I'm looking forward to it.
I feel like you and Kat may get a little sauced up at this event because they serve an alcohol beverages. Because I'm chauffeuring everybody.
Yeah. I don't know that Melba is going to be drinking just because of some recent stuff that's just been kind of annoying in regards to alcohol and alcoholism in her life. However, she's going to be sassy. She might not be saucy, but she's going to be sassy based on her attire. That's for sure.
There we go. So, yeah, again, been a good day. Going to be a better day. Got a good weekend coming up. Got my workout with Rich tomorrow. Gonna get even more jacked than I already am. I'm in 4X shirts regularly now. So shout out to Mike the Ref and the old Front Row Mafia crew. There we go. For our old Edmonton Sports Podcast Network. The Edmonton SPN.
Hey, it works.
I was pulling shirts out of storage looking for 4Xs. I mean, I'm in 4Xs comfortably now. Found this gem, and I'm like, yep, gotta wear it. Gotta wear it for the show today.
Yeah, look at those shoulder seams. Not even sitting on your shoulders anymore.
Oh, because I'm wearing a shirt that actually fits me now. There we go.
Yay, progress.
There we go. So, we're not just here to talk about us. We're here to talk about some professional wrestling. We're here to talk. We're going to talk to New Japan Cup day one / and New Japan Wrestling 52nd anniversary show. Really, the only thing that was really focused towards the anniversary, in my opinion, was the main event. Everything else was very much focused towards the New Japan Cup.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
And we got some, again, some news came out of the second night that I'll talk about just quickly at the end of the show. It's out of the second show, but I figured we'd drop it here because by the time we get to it, it'll be a couple days from now. And we'll talk about it again in the Japanese Wrestling Update tomorrow night. But before we get into it, I want to thank each and every one of you guys. We really do appreciate you guys for joining us here on Andre Melba Wrestling Talk on Backbreaker Video. And if you're listening on Sunday Night's Main Event Radio, thank you all guys all for showing up and listening and supporting us and everything. You guys are supporting us, and we really do appreciate it. If you want, if you are watching YouTube, please like the video, subscribe to the channel, comment down below because we love hearing from you. We like talking to you. Don't forget to share us out to all your friends and family, and don't forget to hit the notification bell so you can learn every time we drop a new video.
Ding dong.
Hello, and if you are listening on Sunday Night's Main Event, please if you aren't subscribed to the channel, subscribe to the channel. Leave us a 5-star review on your podcast service of choice, whichever one that is, and give us a 5-star review if you can, please. And also, if you want to support Sunday Night's Main Event Radio, you can go to SNM, to Podbean, no, Patreon.com/SNME Radio to support them. And if you are watching on video and you want to hear us on audio form, go to SundayNightsMainEvent.com, and you can check them out over there on the audio forms. But with all that being said, it's time to get into the main show of this. We're going to talk some New Japan Anniversary / New Japan Cup. Man, I got to hit the button. There we go. There's the button. Yeah. So we got the big old bracket this week. So we're starting, like, there's 4 quadrants to the back. And we're starting in quadrant, the top left quadrant. On this show, we have Yoshihashi versus Kenta, Shota Umino versus Jack Perry, and Toriano versus Yujiro Takahashi. I put my predictions out there yesterday before I had watched this show, before I had anything spoiled for me. I put my prediction bracket out there. I'm 2-for-3 in the first bracket. Let's go. 2-4-3. I think that's pretty good so far.
Well, I wish I knew about that. I didn't get to participate in that, but
I woke up in the morning, found on Twitter, I saw Chris Samsa's from the statistician of New Japan, Chris Samsa. He put out a bracket, like a fill-inable bracket, different looking than this. So I took it, I filled my stuff. I kind of put it into a PDF thing, did some editing, and put my stuff in there. And I put it up on Twitter just so I can say, here, this is my choices for the event this year, just randomly before I started watching the show. Koji.
He's not very happy. He's trapped in here with me.
Oh, you can't go running. Can't go doing zoomies around the house, eh?
No zoomies around the house right now. We're going to chill.
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 So, yeah, we're getting into it. We're going to talk about this show. We kick it off with a... Gino Gambino's back on the commentary. First thing. He is here for the tour. I don't know if Walker Stewart's going to be there for the entire tour, because I know he has dates he works in North America. So I think that's part of why Gambino's here for the tour, to be, if Chris or Walker can't be there, he's there to be the commentary. I'm happy to hear Gino Gambino on every show.
Mm-hmm. Same. It took me a while to figure out who it was, because I was doing other things when the first initial introductions on commentary were made. Mm-hmm. So, like, when I looked up and I heard the Aussie voice, I was like, oh, Shane Haste is on commentary. But then they showed the commentary crew. I was like, wait a minute. Now. Made me very happy.
Yeah. So the first match, Gino Gambino is cracking me up. So we have, it's Tangaloa. Or sorry, it's United Empire's Great O'Conn and Jeff Cobb versus Tangaloa with Jado and Gino Gambino's thought of, hey, it's Tama Tonga. It was not Tama Tonga. It was Tomo Akiyama, because Tama Tonga is no longer in New Japan.
Yeah. And it was so funny, too. It just sounded like a Kevinism in that moment. Hey, look, it's Omna. Hey, look, it's Tama. That's very nice.
I just found it really...
kind of recognized also that it wasn't Shane Haste.
Yeah, it's just funny. Just a weird little comedy that I really like. United Empire attack for the bell. Khan working on the knee of Tangaloa with the chop block, slamming the knee. Gambino went... Tanma goes for the Kokeshi. And he misses, but Gambino, he misses with the gun stun. Just the lines out of Gambino here in this one was just so good.
And didn't he call it stun gun at one point?
He might have called it a stun gun. I'm not sure. But yeah. I know he called calling the Kokeshi's gun stuns, but yeah. Hanma misses the Kokeshi, but then Cobb tries his own Kokeshi and misses. Hanma hits a headbutt into a Tangaloa spinebuster, and he finally gets the Kokeshi stun, I guess, on Cobb for two. I think you were calling it the sword hammer from Tangaloa.
Oh yeah, I love that. Yeah, where he does the chop and then the low.
The chop fist. And punch, chop and punch, chop and punch thing. Yeah,
sword hammer. I love that.
Yeah, just does that into the corner. To Khan and hits him with a clothesline. Cobb hits a super kick and a spin cycle for two as Loa and Khan brawl into the crowd. Mongolian chops by Khan. Then the lights flicker for some weird reason. I was like, huh. And even somebody even made a House of Torture joke when the lights flickered. And Cobb hits Tour of the Islands on Hanma for the win. Khan and Loa, Tangaloa end up brawling after the match as Khan and Loa will be facing off in the first round of this tournament.
I don't have a whole lot to add to this. I thought it was a fun little opener. It was interesting to see Team Tang with Tangaloa and Tomaka Hyamna. It felt like an odd pairing, and it ended up being a bit of an odd pairing. Something I laughed at when I saw this team come out is how Hyamna and Jakdo are the exact same color tone as Tangaloa. There was a point where I couldn't tell who was who when they were bent over because of the skin tone. It was crazy. They're so tan. So tan. I'm also very curious to see what happens with United Empire now that Osprey is Gonzo. Because we have seen like Cobb and Great O'Conn have teamed together pretty proficiently over the years that the United Empire has been formed. So this is a normal pairing to me, but I'm interested to see where the United Empire as a whole team kind of goes from here. Who pairs up, who pairs off, and if the faction will remain. Andre, what do you think?
Again, and we'll talk about this when we get to the other Empire match on the night, but like the commentary has really been talking about how TJP is keep saying he's going to step up as the leader. So, and in his trio, he felt like the centerpiece of his trio later on in the night. You look at it and you're like, hopefully they can right the ship. Not that the ship's gone wrong, but you know what I mean? And figure out who's that next number one for the team. Because it's fairly common in Japanese wrestling for new leaders to take over factions.
Absolutely. We are used to seeing captains and usually it's very clear cut. But like this year, we're starting to notice a kind of different emergence happening in NJPW, I think starting in Stardom, where Empress Nexus Venus apparently has not one but two captains in Baika, World of Stardom Champion, and Lina Shirakawa. So maybe we'll start, maybe Empire will be the version of that. Maybe Empire will kind of start something else, maybe with TJP and somebody else claiming leadership.
It's very possible. The only other thing about this match is why didn't they just use Jado in the Hanma role? Because you could have just put Jado there and it would have made very little difference to the match in reality.
Yeah, I kind of agree. There was something else other like later in the show where I was also like, this would have been better with somebody else in it instead.
House of Torture, just having them not being there at all. Oh, that would have been much better.
I mean, obvious.
All right, we're gonna move on to the next match. It is not for strong openweight tag titles. It is TMDK, Mad Mikey Nichols, and the front man, Zack Sabre Jr., taking on the Gorillas of Destiny, El Phantasmo, and Hikuleo with Jado. Second match. This is probably why he didn't work the first match, because he had to corner his boys in the second match. Is Hanma the new member of GOD? Is he the one to replace Tama Tonga? Is that what it is? Yeah.
No. They got their fall guy. That's Jackdo.
It can be Tama Hanma.
I just gotta giggle a little bit at the image here of Guerrillas of Destiny. ELP looks like he's the happy mask, and Hikaleo looks like he's a sad mask. Nice little balance, I guess.
Well, and then the other side, you have ang the angry mask and the like got no emotion mask.
That's a smolder. That looks
Yeah,
like a smolder face on the side of SJ there.
he's like the he's got the serious face. Mikey's got the angry face. He got the like kind of almost sad looking angry face, and then you have that happy face. I don't know.
Yeah. A whole lot of emotion going on in this match, or in this picture at least.
Yeah, Sabre and ELP wrestling around early. Nichols and Hikuleo smashed into each other. Hikuleo finally drops Nichols with the shoulder block. G.O.D. double team Nichols, but he fights back. But he ends up getting DDT'd by Hikuleo. TMDK end up getting the double team on Hikuleo. They target the legs. Sabre goes to work on the legs with submissions, but Hikuleo fights him off. So Zack Sabre Jr. comes out of the corner with a flying guillotine, but Hikuleo just turns it into a big old suplex. ELP flipping all over the place, doing his dive into all his flips into his dives. And he goes for the lion salt on Zack Sabre Jr., but he gets caught into the triangle, which is turned into a disarmer. But ELP gets his foot on the ropes pretty quickly, I would say. Here, he had in his brain ready to get his foot on the ropes.
Yeah, he had to hustle pretty good for that one, but I would too. I mean, as someone who has a shoulder injury, I don't want it exasperated.
The G.O.D. hits the big boot into the burning hammer combo onto Nichols for two. Sabre gets a dragon clutch on Hikuleo, and they end up like kind of rolling out with it. Like it was like the way he put the dragon clutch on, so good.
Oh yeah, was that when he was tying him right up?
Yeah, when he put the arm around underneath and then like brought his other
Yeah.
hand his back. Yeah, it's the dragon sleeper. With the behind the back clutch, which I the first person I really noticed is doing the behind the back clutch of that move was Aleister Black in when he was in WWE.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that was when he started doing it, and I've noticed Sabre doing it over the last couple of years when he puts it on. I just really like that variation of it because a lot of guys turn in and then grab it in the front. But yeah, and he
Yeah.
pulls Hikuleo out. Nichols hits the Mikey Bomb on ELP for the win. TMDK coming out victorious. I love seeing that. Very sad that Shane Hayes isn't here on the tour doing. Yeah, he's in the States. He's taking bookings in North America. I've sent it to two local promoters. Let's go book Shane Hayes here in Alberta in March. Please, 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 please.
We were already in March, so maybe I don't know. We'll see. We'll
Well,
see.
the one
They
promotion
don't like to listen to us very much, though. So,
I'm hoping the one promotion at least listens to my freaking direct tweet saying, do it, just book him.
don't know about yeah, but we'll have to see. I mean, have you seen the hilarious videos that he's been doing in response? Just some of the backstage comments said something about a zip line. Now we got a video of Shane Hayes going on a zip line with one of his workout bars.
And then
Hilarious.
he and then like he like their explanation why he's isn't here because he got sick of flying on planes. He got sick of flying back and forth.
I mean, it's fair.
Oh, it was good. It was good.
That's a 13-hour flight, isn't it?
Depending on what you're coming out of, any 13 plus, depending.
Yeah,
I know when I
screw
looked it up,
that.
I think when I looked it up, a direct flight was like 14 hours to Tokyo. When I looked it from Edmonton, so he's on the east on the west coast in California, so he's probably I'll probably say yeah probably 13 hours 13 13 and a half hours for him. Oh, I can only do that in first class.
Jesus,
Yeah.
that's gonna be pricey.
You got anything on this one?
What do I have? I enjoyed the beginning of with ELP and Zack Sabre Jr. I think it's like selfishly, it's because you can hear them bantering back and forth. Both Zack Sabre Jr. and ELP are very mouthy. individuals.
It's so it's that Canadian UK banter, man.
Sure, yeah. For me, it's just the fact that the English banter, and I can actually understand what they're saying. But yeah, I liked how it ended up kind of playing off each other. But yeah, ELP kind of did get beat up a little bit by Zack Sabre Jr. in the beginning there. The other thing I wanted to say is that I really enjoyed that tie-up that Zack Sabre Jr. did on Hikaleo. That, what did you say it was? The Dragon something?
Dragon Sleeper, Dragon Clutch, depending on who names it what. Yeah.
The Dragon Stuff.
The Dragon Sleeper, yeah.
But yeah. That was really cool. It's always really cool to see someone of Hikaleo's size take those kind of moves too, because you don't expect that kind of flexibility. And like, if you said that like the Big Show could do something like that, I'd be like, what? No. You know, so the fact that Hikaleo is pretty flexible for someone of that comparable size is very impressive. That's all I got on this one.
The other half is, could somebody get their arm around the neck of Big Show enough to get their other arm around the back to connect? That's the real question.
I'm just saying, if someone can get, if Zack Sabre Jr., of all people too, can get a neck lock on Tomohiro Ishii, Mr. No Neck himself, there is no neck thick enough that he wouldn't be able to wrap himself around.
That is very true. That is very true.
I think it'd be a challenge.
Oh, for sure. We move on. Eight-man tag match. Chaos. Hiroki Goto and Tomohiro Ishii teaming up with El Desperado and Oleg Bolton, taking on Los Ingobernables, Dehapon, Bushi, Hiromu Takahashi, Shingo Takagi, and Yota Tsuji.
The choice of photo for Tsuji is just majestic.
Just...
But the hair. The biggest point is the hair.
The hair blowing back while he's screaming into the abyss. It's so good.
Yeah, relatable.
I don't have much for this match. I only got four lines of notes. Tsuji's chopping with Ishii, having very little effect. Again, great chop battle, then a shoulder block battle, which Ishii wins. You don't drop the stone pitbull. Oleg Bolton then gets tagged in. He comes in and just starts gut wrench swinging Tsuji around. It was great.
And Tsuji was smart in that. He tucked a little bit, not as tightly as Katamaru, but he tucked enough to make it look natural. I think that's my, because I love when he does it to Katamaru, but Katamaru looks like he's fixed into it. He purposely puts himself in the position of comfort versus realism. Yeah. And Tsuji did that perfect combination where he tucked enough, but also looked flaily enough that it wasn't a detriment to Bolton swinging him.
Yeah, he wasn't flailing around like I've seen others do, but he did a bit of, like, you see his arms and legs moving a bit while he was being swung around. And again, I the fact that he did, and Bolton's doing it to everybody. Tsuji is not a small man. I've only really seen him do it to juniors and smaller heavyweights lately. But when you're doing it to a guy like Tsuji, you know this guy's power is insanity, man.
100%. 100%.
Yeah, and Oleg gets a two count on Tsuji for that. The time off seems to have done Goto well, because he was looking really good in this match. The break he's had, I think, has been really good for him.
I agree.
Yeah, especially when he was going one-on-one with the Kagi with the striking battle that he had. Yeah. LAJ triple team Desperado, and they hit the triple C to drop King Bushi gets two. Everyone's in and out, taking a move to each other. Bushi hits the rewind kick to Desperado, but Desperado ends up pulling a modified crucifix pin, and he gets the win. Oleg getting a win over LIJ. I'm okay with that.
You know, I'm not, but it is what it is. No one's going to listen to me on that one.
Well, I feel like with Oleg Bolton, it's a little different too. Like, he's like, yes, I know he's a young lion, but they're building him in such a way. I don't think he does the excursion. I think he has a Kosei Fujita, kind of, maybe not joining a faction the same way, but like, he's not going to go away for a long time like other guys. I have that feeling. Like, I just...
I don't disagree with that. However, I do disagree with the fact that the lions who came before him most recently and the ones who are there, they're not going to get that same treatment of their picking up wins as young lions. Kosei Fujita, despite his extreme talent, didn't start picking up wins in any kind of way until he was facing other lions one-on-one. He was not a part of a winning team. So, I do understand the build, but we also got to keep in mind he is a lion. Yes, we put him in a match with two juniors, which is probably not the smart thing to do, but he is a young lion. And the last thing we need is a lion with a little bit of an inflated head. And if I'm starting to pick up wins when I'm considered that young lion, I'm going to start thinking a little highly of myself. I'm going to hope that the dojo system does take that kind of stuff and kind of beat it out of them during training. But, that's my fear in this kind of pathway that they're doing with him. And we saw how that worked out with the OG Brock Lesnar, because they did the same thing with him. And look what happened there. He became a little bitch at the beginning of his 20s and he fracked off for a little bit and came back. And now there's more frackery going on. We don't need that happening again. So, I have mixed feelings on that. But I did enjoy when Bolton was in there with Takagi and they were going back and forth there. Takagi is going to be a very good test for Bolton Oleg, because Takagi has been in this business for quite some time. I feel that he is one of those people that you need to step over and get through to feel like you finally stepped foot in the business for some of the younger lions who are considered more the powerhouses. We saw that with Loibe. We saw that with... why is his name slipping from me right now?
Nakashima.
Yeah. We saw that with both of these guys going against Takagi, and we've also seen that happen with Ishii. Ishii is a really great gateway guy for the power guys. Obviously not going to happen because Bolton and him are on the same team in this respect. And then the ending after this too, man. Like, take us into that.
Ending after I might have skipped that. You might want to talk about it. I might have jumped to the next video.
Yeah, and you missed something pretty fracking important. Chase Owens rushing the ring and taking Ishii and pile driving him. Yeah,
I did miss that because my brain. I was also watching this at like 1:30 a.m. So,
well, we gotta remember the value of watching the entire video. Chase Owens running in and doing his little package pile driver on Ishii as the rest of the crew was kind of helping everybody else kind of out there. So Chase was able to hit him with that, take off before Goto and Desperado and Oleg were able to come back in and kind of relieve Chase from his ring time, I guess. I believe this is in... regards to, because isn't Ishii facing Owens in the NJPW Cup?
Yeah, I think it's Owens and Ishii in the first round. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So shots fired. Shots fired by Chase Owens. We'll see how Ishii is faring when he gets into that match.
Yeah. Again, you can go check on my bracket for my prediction on that one. It does not favor Chase Owens. Let's just say that.
Oh,
sorry. I had to go with my boy Ishii. We move on. Six-man tag. It's United Empire's Callum Newman, Francesco Kira, and the, I guess, new leader of the Empire, TJP, taking on the Bullet Club War Dogs, David Finley, Gabe Kidd, and Gato. Finley tries to attack TJP with the shillelagh before the match, but TJP fights him off and hits the midst of the face. What?
You said shillelagh. Shillelagh.
It's a shillelagh.
It just the way you say it, said it, it was really funny to me. I'm sorry. Continue.
It's a shillelagh.
It's a shillelagh, but okay.
A shillelagh. TJP gets a late lace wash from the running boot in the corner to Kid, and him and Newman double team Kid, and TJP gets two. Kid and Newman are in. Kid pushes Newman over the top when he's going for the new cutter. The newly rebranded Os Cutter for Newman attempt, and they start. Then this is where Kid starts the beat down on him. Dog's coming in, the War Dog's coming in and out, beating up on Newman for a good 2-3 minutes, and then Newman eventually fights back and hits that running pump kick to the face of Kid. Looked really good. Akira's in, firing up on Kid. TJP and him double team him. Akira hits a splash off the top for two. Gato gets in the match. Finley hits a release Falcon arrow, and Gato hits a seated super kick to Akira for two. TJP stops the double team, tossing Finley out. Akira hits Speedfire, and then catch 2-2, hit the knee to Gato, and Akira picks up the win. Let's go.
You said knee, and all I thought was nene.
Well, it's called the knee. That's what they call it. It's the knee.
Now watch them whip. Now watch them knee. This was a fun match. I actually didn't take a whole lot of notes on this one. I just kind of enjoyed it because it felt like a continuation of the chaos that we have been seeing from these guys, but it felt new. Like, is that weird that it felt fresh, even though we've been seeing these guys face each other for so long?
Yes, because it feels different. Because again, Osprey's out of the picture too, and now the fight seems to be TJP and David Finlay. So, I apologize if you can hear a sound in the background, but it seems to be very much, and it, does this create a transition for TJP? Could he be moving to a heavyweight division? And
I mean, yeah.
Leaving Akira to go solo and maybe go become going into that singles junior ranks, right? Like,
do we think that Callum Newman is a junior or a heavyweight?
I would, with his height and his build, I would put him in the heavyweight category personally, because he's a fairly tall individual, and he's not. I don't know. He's in that point of Kevin Knight, who I think Kevin Knight's in that border territory, and I think Newman's in that same border territory. He could be a junior, but
with Alex Zane. Alex Zane was kind of in that borderline time.
Yeah, again, same kind of look as what Newman has, right? Mm-hmm, so I would lean more to Newman. I would rather see TJP move up and Akira go into the singles division. So I would really like to see him start contesting for that junior title. I'd like to see him get into that mix, like, strongly.
That being said, though, what does that leave the United Empire with? We've got how many active members, and that means only one, officially, is a junior. That's too many heavyweights, and we know that that's going to cause a butting of heads. There's only so many titles to go around. I'm a little concerned. It did feel very, very different. It still felt intense, like an intense United Empire War Dogs battle that we have become accustomed to over the last year and a bit. But it felt very different and refreshing, despite the tension still kind of being the same. I really felt Gabe Kidd was quite quiet in this match. Not as
mousy.
What's the word? Well, not yeah. Captain Sassy Pants. Yeah, he was surprisingly quiet and not as loudmouthed and maybe intense and aggressive as he usually is. Is that a result of his injury, or is that a result of maybe who he really wanted to beat the shit out of not being in the match? I don't know, but it felt. In regards to this whole match, it was the only thing that felt uncomfortable to me, because I like that intensity from Gabe Kidd. I like that chaoticness about him, because it sets him apart not just from all the other members of the War Dogs, but there's nothing like him and that intensity in all of NJPW. So to see him kind of reserved on it, it was a little odd for me to see. But the rest of the match was phenomenal.
Oh, very much so. Again, really good, strong six-man tag, and not super long. A lot of these undercards were not super long, which made the undercard that much more appealing. The show came in at 3 hours, and that included all the main event post-match and then the announcers talking. So I think the show was probably 2.5 to 2 hours and 40 minutes tops. And
which is a blessing.
I would really love for them to keep it at this length as a maximum for the rest of these shows up until the finals.
I would just love to say in general, if I get the final show, it's like, it's a lot if it's a 4-hour show.
Well, again, if it's a Dominion, a Sakura Genesis, something of that, that's fine. But these Road 2 shows shouldn't be more than 2.5 hours. And that's why I love Stardom. Mm-hmm. Those shows are, like, most of their random shows are 2 hours max.
Yes. But, yeah. And I love that about Stardom, because literally I can go on to the warm-up machine at the gym, start a match, have it done in 10 minutes. It's so nice, and still feel like I still got a lot out of that 10 minutes.
Yeah, very much so. So we move on to my least favorite undercard match of the show. It's House of Tortures, Dick Togo, Evil, Rin Narita, and Yoshinobu Kanemaru versus just five guys, Doki, Sonata, Taichi, and Yuimura. Again, it's my least favorite group in House of Torture versus one of the groups that I just don't care about really much. Outside, like, I care about Taichi. That's more because I'm a Taichi fan. But that's it. Well, Doki's fine when he's in stuff, but like, just like he hasn't had a lot of momentum lately, right? Like, outside of the Hiromu.
Well, yeah. That win over Hiromu, though. Mm-hmm. God damn. I mean, why isn't he, based on that match, based on their matches before, why isn't he being prioritized in the junior division?
No idea, because the guy is so good.
So good. Did you see the little kid? There was a Doki in the crowd. Oh, little kid dressed up as Doki. Had the little thingy over her eye and everything, and it was a little girl. It was
nice. Nice. So the girl, she probably had the hair for it then.
She did. She had the ponytail and the little half mask and everything. She looked great.
There you go. Yuimura looking good with his shaved head, with the dyed red shaved head. I think it looks good. Like, it doesn't look bad. I think it looked like, because if it was just plain, just red, I like that it's red. What?
Well, first of all, when that grows out, the tips are going to be red. And who else has red tipped hair in NJPW? Hiromu Takahashi. Why can't these guys just move away from copying other people? Because Hiromu Takahashi did the exact same thing. Move away. Figure out your own thing. Yulia, you have the talent. You have it. Why are you trying to be like everybody else?
I don't know. And again, he like the little bit of charisma he had, I think, is gone. Now that he cut his hair, just like Sonata. It seems to be a just like guy's problem. When you cut your hair, you lose charisma. All your charisma's gone. And Yuri didn't have a lot, but he had a little bit at least. And I just found him very dull in this match.
He could not get the crowd fired up no matter how hard he tried.
Yeah. Doki fights off a double team by Togo and Kanemaru early. Sonata gets Kanemaru in the Paradise Lock, but Evil trips him up, and Narita ends up getting Kanemaru out of the Paradise Lock. Evil hits a suplex and gets a two. And Togo rings the bell, and Evil celebrates, but the rest are like, no, you didn't win. It was dumb. Just dumb.
Yeah.
Sonata fights back from getting a quadruple team. Taichi takes out Evil, hits a hook kick to Narita. Narita claws the eyes of Taichi. Narita grabs the ref and claws Taichi again and hits the backdrop suplex and tags in Togo. Yuya comes in, taking it to Togo. Gets the backdrop suplex for two. House Torture quadruple team Yuya. And they hit the dick-to-dick contact, but Togo can only get two. again, I'm just going with the technical name that the announcers are saying.
It's giving them more dick than they deserve.
Yeah, Togo gets the garrote, but Sonata makes a save. Just five guys take out House of Torture. Yuya hits the high cross, and then the bridging deadbolt suplex to Togo for the win.
Mm-hmm. I gotta say, yeah. I do enjoy the little like rollover that Yuya does after that pin. It's like very obvious he doesn't quite know how to get out of that pin. He just, or maybe he did and he knew exactly what he was doing, but he definitely drug his stuff over Dick Togo's face after that pin. And I was like, that was a happy mistake, I hope. Happy little mistake. So when you're doing that dick on dick contact, it's just Paybox got to come back at some point. I was disappointed, though. We had Doki. We had Gino. Do you want to know what we didn't see?
A Doki Choki.
I mean, I know we have opportunity for the rest of the tour, and we need to cherish our Doki Chokis from Gino Gambino. That being said, though, I need them at every show that Doki's in the ring and Gino is on commentary. This is not an option. If Gino is there and Doki is there, it needs to be a thing. I need this to happen.
And just a heads up to everybody, for the rest of the tour up until the finals, for all the other shows, we're just going to be covering the tournament matches, but I'm going to be watching every Just Five Guys match to make sure I in here. If there's a Doki Choki reference, we will talk about it.
Yes, we have to. See, you guys, these are the things that Andre is willing to do for you. He is willing to suffer watching his least excitable faction in NJPW, just so
a Doki Choki. Second least. House of Torture is the least.
I said least excitable. Least excitable.
No, still. They're still more excitable than House of Torture. House of Torture everything they do makes me groan and go, ugh. That's not excitable to me. That's misery to me. So Just Five Guys is more excitable than House of Torture.
Okay. That being said, I have to keep my karma in check. So I have to say my one nice thing about House of Torture. And that is that Yoshinobu Kanemaru's new pants, his new gear, very nice. It's about time. I am annoyed that clearly Just Five Guys' little sponsorship thing didn't come through for them too well, and that they clearly invested whatever money they got in Yuya Uemura's costume. But I'm happy to see the Bullet Club money is working out very nicely for Yoshinobu Kanemaru, and those black, silver, and red accent tights. That's some top-tier seamstressy. I like that stuff. But that's all I have to say about that, because the rest of it was just like...
We're going to move on. It's the first of the first round matches. Toriano versus Yujiro Takahashi with the only thing that matters, the return of Peter. Yes, Peter is back, ladies and gentlemen. The Bullet Bunny is back. Bullet
Bunny. Bullet Bunny.
It's been a couple of years, right?
Like since it's been too fracking long, is what it has been. And like, let's be honest, one of the only things that gives credibility to Yujiro Takahashi, because what is a Tokyo pimp without a lady? Apparently, you just roll with a bunch of sausages.
I guess he's a sausage pimp.
Clearly.
The best part about this whole thing was Peter, because the match was a total of 2 minutes and 56 seconds. It wasn't
and there were more handcuffs in it than probably late night in the Edmonton EPS.
Yeah. So Yujiro attacks Yano during his very long introduction. Yujiro immediately moves the corner pad, pushes the ref, and smacks Yano with the corner pad. Yujiro gets Yano to run into the exposed corner, takes him to the floor, running him into the barricades. He handcuffs him to the guardrail. But Yano pulls this bolt out of the guardrail and gets the handcuffs out of the guardrail and gets in at 16. But then he ends up rolling back out and you see him fiddling against the apron. You can't tell what he's doing. And then all of a sudden, magically, the handcuffs is off his wrist. You're like, okay. And then Yano grabs a guy in a suit, and he grabs Yujiro after he hits him, and puts Yujiro's arms around the guy as the count's going on, and handcuffs him to the guy hugging him and pushes them over and rolls to the ring, and Yano wins it by count at 2 minutes and 56 seconds.
You know, this was one of the best things that I've seen since Mitch Clark won the Top Talent title. I loved it. Yano is not the love of my life, unlike Mitch Clark, but this was still a great match, and I thought that it was hilarious how it ended. I think the guy that he handcuffed, wasn't he one of the photographers at the ringside?
He was in a suit. That's all I know.
Oh, I just thought he was all in black. So I just thought he was a photographer or something. It's hilarious though. And like the Peter afterwards, just what happened? Well, she's brought in for the look and aesthetic. She's not brought in to be functional.
Yeah, I think the only valet I think has been like female valet I've seen functional in New Japan is Miho Abe, because she would like help Taichi with stuff when he was a heel.
Like she would like clean up the mess he would make as he's making a mess,
and she would hand him stuff and stuff too. Like
that's true. That's true. So that's true.
She actually got like not actively involved, but she helped Taichi out more than I've ever seen.
I have one better for you. You remember when Will Ospreay first formed United Empire? Bea Priestley was in his partner. I'd say she was more functional.
Yeah, okay.
She's a legit wrestler, unlike
Bobby. She was a wrestler who happened to accompany them. Miho and Peter are valets, though.
Their job is to look pretty and do very minimal things.
Yeah.
Which I miss seeing in professional wrestling. I miss seeing valets. It's been a very long time since I've seen a valet or a manager utilized properly.
It's true.
I'm happy to see Peter back. I don't have anything to add to this. I loved how mercifully short it was.
Yeah, again, it cut down so much on this show, and it helped, especially going into the next three matches, which, while the next two weren't super long, the main event was over 20 minutes again, so it helped. Mm-hmm. It really did help the flow of this show.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah. So we go into the next match. I skipped one. So I after Yano and Takahashi, I got one. That's one. My first one. I got my first one right. So because I picked Yano to go to
the second.
All right. So we move into second match. It's Kenta versus Yoshihashi. Kenta making the ref check every nook and cranny of Yoshihashi to make sure he's not cheating. But then Kenta hits Yoshi from behind. Yoshi gets the advantage on the floor, gets the baseball, goes back in the ring, comes in, hits a baseball slide. He's chopping Kenta on the floor. Kenta starts playing the slide in and out, and then boots Yoshihashi off the apron. Excuse me. Again, it was Kenta very much doing the Kenta stuff at the early beginnings. Mm-hmm. Kenta tossed into the post and the bo staff in the one corner, but he comes back, runs Yoshi into the barricade twice. He grabs the bo staff, but then he threw it on the ground.
He don't need your handouts.
You don't need your bo staff.
He's an adult.
Yeah. Yoshihashi's not an adult because he has a bo staff.
No.
Yeah.
His entrance gear would also suggest that he is not a fully grown adult.
Yeah, Kenta with stomps, neck breakers, pulling the hair and the slams, kicks to the back. Can he only get two counts on everything? Yoshi fights back, hits a stunner. Kenta rakes the eyes. Yoshi reverses a suplex into his own. He gets the drop kick on when Kenta's draped on the ropes and the seated drop kick for two. A series of reversals from both, and Yoshi hits the headhunter, then follows it up with the running powerbomb for two. Kenta tries to use the ref, but it doesn't work. And Yoshihashi gets the super kick and two lariats and gets a two count. Kenta gets an inside cradle off the karma attempt. Then he hits the green killer for another two. Hesitation drop kick in the corner. Then hits a coup de grace at the top, gets a two. Yoshihashi gets a small package for two. Yoshihashi gets strikes and a kick. But Kenta hits that sick looking palm strike, hits the Buseko knee, but can only get two. He then sets up for GTS, but Yoshihashi turns the GTS into the crucifix bomb for the win. And this officially makes me 1-1 on this one. Cause I made the mistake and pulled the Mel ball and picked Kenta to win.
Well, it's because for whatever reason, every other company in this planet recognizes that Kenta has talent and puts championships on him, except for his home one. And these guys, the NGPW, I'm sorry, y'all have been dicking this man around more than Dick Togo. You should just call him Dicta.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You put him in these like big match spots because you know he can deliver, but then you blue ball him. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just, it's insulting now at this point. He's in so many other championship opportunity like areas, and then this to Yoshihashi of all people. Like, I know that he has had a great run with his tag division, but I really don't like Yoshihashi in the singles division. I think he excels the best in the tag division. And I don't think that he should have gotten, as a titleless person in NJPW, he should not have gotten a win over someone who's the champion of another company. Even if this isn't the company he's the champion of. Kenta is the champion at Defy for a fracked reason. Recognizes talent. He's... Also, yeah. This is me just being biased. It's very frustrating for me as someone who always keeps picking Kenta, being like, this is going to be his year. This is going to be his year. This is going to be his year. Been doing this for 4 years now. Has he not suffered enough?
Oh, yeah, I think he has, but New Japan just don't want to push him, and I don't understand it.
El Presidente, freaking fix it.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't have anything else to say on this one.
Again, good match. I just didn't like the ending. Again, I think Yoshihashi, especially these last couple of years when he's been put in singles matches, he's performed. He's done really well. G1 Yoshihashi has not left in a couple. That's just his standard now. And I think, and I've really come to enjoy Yoshihashi as a worker in matches. I just still don't believe him winning when he wins in singles, because I just don't feel, I don't know.
He's not at that level. He's not at the same level as Kenta. And like, there's so many others that he's gone toe to toe with. And we're like, oh, this is an easy in and out for this person because, you know, it's going to be a great match because it's Yoshihashi. But, and we're constantly faced with this. It's a little frustrating because again, he does great in the tag division. It's just the singles division is not somewhere that I see.
Yeah. But according to New Japan, Yoshi's above Kenta, I guess.
Y'all some DeLulu Mama Jammas over there, let me tell you.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Well, we move on. It's the final match of the New Japan Cup on the show, the semi-main event. It is Shota Umino versus the scapegoat, Jack Perry. So Perry's entrance is a smooth jazz song that like divulges into a rock song, and he comes up wearing this like goat mask, like this demonic looking goat mask.
I only wanted to watch The Witch because Blake Phillip was talking to me through my TV screen.
Yeah, it was weird. They brawl immediately when Umino gets in. Umino's beating on Perry, but he fights back and gets to see the dropkick. Perry striking at Umino, choking him on the ropes and then the corner, gets a neck breaker, but he only gets one. Perry gets the snare trap, which is a modified STF rear naked choke. This is the rear naked, like, or like a Chin lock, rear naked choke style, SDF, which he did it as established for himself in AEW. Watching him do this in AEW, won some fairly high profile matches there with it. Won a tag title. I think he won a tag title with it. But Umino gets to the ropes. Perry gets a green killer off the apron onto the. He spit on the floor, and then a green killer Umino onto the spit on the floor, as the announcer said. He gets Umino back in. This is a cocky pin for two. I was like, all right, dumbass. You could have won it there, but you're a dumbass. Umino fights back. It's a forearm, corner uppercut, and the bridging fisherman suplex for two. Perry stops a tornado DDT and hits a dragon suplex. Umino comes back, hits a boot, gets him into the ropes, and hits the up and over apron DDT. I love that. I think that move looks great every time he does it. He does it very solidly. The coast-to-coast drop kick back in the ring, and then the inverted DDT for two by Umino. Ignition is missed. They trade strikes and kicks. Perry hits the poison Rana, but Shota comes back with a blaze blade, and they're both down. Pop up knee, and Umino hits the ignition, but Perry stops the DDT. They reverse each other, and Umino gets a cradle DDT for two. Umino sets up the blaze blade, but Kanemaru comes out and tosses a young lion into the ring, and then he jumps up on the apron, distracting the ref. Naruto then comes in, hits Umino with the push-up bar, and hits him with the X-Factor. I don't know what the name of his move is, but I refuse to call it anything else. Shout out to Sean Waltman. I gotta respect the guy that created it. And Perry hits a running knee to the head, and he pins Shota Umino. I picked Perry to win because I'm like in this match because I couldn't see Perry being brought in and getting knocked out in the first round. And they had the history from Battle in the Valley.
Mm.
Yeah. And then something happened post-match. House Torchall come in, and they offer Jack Perry a shirt. He puts it on. And he makes
shout out to Jack Perry in this picture with the most personality he showed in the entire fracking match.
I'm hoping House of Torture can help bring that a different side out of the guy. I watched a promo from him from the second night, from the multi-man tag he did, and it wasn't as bad as usual because he was just being an ass and saying, I'm better than you, and we are better than you, and we do what the fuck we want. And it felt almost natural from him. It was weird. It's really weird.
Well, it's nice that he showed it backstage. What I'm going to have to actually see from him is him actually to do it on the stage, mm-hmm. If you wouldn't mind, sir. Your father was known for his acting ability. I want to say that he has some kind of talent that his father had, but I'm starting to think that maybe he kept it all for himself.
Well, I this is going to sound messed up, but because of how lacking of charisma he is, I almost want him to go see his uncle David Arquette and get acting tips from him. And that's David Arquette, and he's far more charismatic than Jack Perry. Come on.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that though. I mean, at this point, if we're talking about desperate times, desperate measures, yeah. But like, I'm not gonna lie, like this whole match, I felt like Umino was working so ridiculously hard to add charisma and personality into the match. He was trying so hard to inject it. I hate making this comparison, but like it felt like watching Zoe Sager. You know, that incredible in-ring talent, but a complete lack of charisma and ability to make something believable. It was like that. And it sucks because I want to see something better, but we need that believability in your acting. And it just is not there for Perry. Even when this whole moment was happening, I'm like, God, he just looks like a fish out of water, don't he? Like, yeah. Not even just by the look, but just in general. I am hoping that it does, you know, maybe some dick-on-dick contact will help him get some personality. Maybe that will be the good thing. Hell, put here's a great idea. Find a room, put show in said room, put Perry in said room with him, lock the door, leave them in there for an hour, and just hope that whatever crazy psychoticness that show has going on inside his brain rubs off a little bit on Perry, because that would be good, because then it could maybe take away from show's craziness and bring him down to a level that's actually really, really palatable. And then elevate Perry a little bit within this lack of charisma and personality that he's been showing. Because you're right, this match was really, really well performed. It just had a distinct lack of personality injection, despite being an obvious story to be told.
Yeah. Again, like, and again, he had, like, I can't believe that he doesn't have contact with the people from 90210 that were like his dad's most synonymous show. He's got to have some kind of relationship with those people. Like,
I mean, at this point, Tori Spelling could probably do more help for you than anything else.
You can't call up Jason Priestley or Ian Ziering. Like, come on. Like, Jason Priestley, I watch, he's on a show, Private Eyes, and I think he's like, he's a great actor. Call him up.
Sprouse.
Just like, teach me call to act.
Sprouse from the freaking Riverdale show. Sprouse is a phenomenal actor. He's also close to your age. He could give you some new trendy stuff. Yeah. He also is like oozing confidence and charisma. Talk to him. Just help, please.
Yeah, it's just, I want Jack Perry to be good. And the ring, I think the guy is incredible. When he was Jungle Boy and he had Luchasaurus, it worked. He had, like, he wasn't like charisma god, but like it worked. Their pairing worked, you know what I mean? And it gave them something. But once he went on his own and was doing his jungle good guy Jungle Boy and then went heel, I just never bought into him. And it's just, yeah.
I also don't watch AEW regularly, so I'm not really the person who can really sound off on anything that he's kind of done in the past there. I've only kind of seen the pay-per-views, but like from what I remember seeing, and what stands out to me the most is his one-on-one match with Sonata.
Oh.
When Sonata was the IWGP World Champion, and it's just like, you're on the biggest stage in AEW and North America, both of these guys. And the match was just okay.
It felt like they're going move to move to move to move.
Yeah, it felt like training is what it felt like. And it was like, you don't, when you're in these moments, you want to be creating an experience and a surreal thing. If it feels like you're just doing the training moves and going through and bouncing off the rope and go, oh, now we go here, now we go here, it feels drug out. And that's how that was. And that's how this kind of felt to me. Again, just lock him in a room of show. See if that doesn't work to help with that situation. But yeah, we need to see some personality and confidence coming out of Perry going forward if we want to see him succeed with House of Torture.
Yeah,
or just in general.
Yeah, again, we'll see. Like, I think, like, do I see the potential he has? Yes, because he's an incredible in ring. He just needs to figure out the character and to learning how to emote properly and just, I don't know. And again, I'm not a trained actor. I'm not a trained wrestler. But as a viewer, I just don't buy into him quite yet.
Well, and as a wrestler, their job is to create, as I said, that surrealism for you, that create that situation for you. He's not doing it. And like, again, he's a tremendous wrestler, as you said. It's just, he needs to be able to be more well-rounded, especially if he's going to be thrust into the spotlight and be expecting to take screen time. We need to see why.
Yeah. Again, we'll see where he goes. It's, and you never know. House Torture might, like, they gave me, I feel Narita has more than what he had, like in terms of, and maybe this can help him. You never know.
I mean, it needs to, because we can't keep having these people with a lack of excitement behind them. We need people more than just names. We need people with reason, you know?
It's true. It's true. Mm-hmm. I need a reason to feel invested in you.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. We're going to move on. Main event to the, there is your, Talk Studio, it was just double click the thing and it would enlarge it. I keep forgetting on here. I have to like right click it. Yoshihashi moves on to face Sonata in the second round. I picked Jack Perry and I picked Yana. They're gonna move on. It's gonna be Jack Perry versus Yano. So I have my pick is for Jack Perry to beat Yano and Sonata to beat Yoshihashi and have those two meet in another charisma vacuum match. But I just feel like that's the way it's going because I don't see Sonata losing until that quarterfinals. So.
Yikes.
Yeah. So we're going to move on. Main event to the thing of Tetsuya Naito versus Show in what turned out to be a very good match. Like, I thought these two worked really well. Not like 5-star, not really. I would say like a 3 to 3.5-star match. Like, I enjoyed it. I had a good time watching this match. And there was some shenanigans, but they were negated properly. And again, it was a good match. Both these guys worked really well. Show attacking during the entrance with Naito, running him into the post. Naito fights back, and he gets Show in the apron, sweeps the legs, and hits the baseball slide, then goes for another dive, and then rolls back into the LIJ pose. Loved that.
Mm-hmm.
Naito undressing on the floor, and Show keeps trying to attack him, and he keeps tossing him into the barricade as he's taking articles of clothing off. It was pretty funny, actually. He ends up choking.
Magic miking throughout the match.
Yeah, Naito chokes Show with his belt. Show attacks the knee in the ring. Naito fights back with strikes. Hits a seated drop kick, gets a neck breaker across the knee with the rope assist, and then hits a neck breaker for two. Show pulls the hair, uses the ref, then pushes the ref into Naito, and he goes for the bounce off the rope into that spear he does, but Naito just hip tosses him over onto the knee. It was great, like a great count of that spear. I really liked it. Show uses the ref, sends Red Shoes, out using Naito. Chop blocks the knee, gets a chair, hits him in the leg, hits him in the knee with the chair on against the post. Then hits him with the chair on the knee on the floor. Keeps attacking. Naito gets it back in at 19. Mel's favorite spot, the 19 return spot. Mel's favorite spot of wrestling.
It's like the ball shot in 2023. It's the trend this year that's being overdone for everything and everyone. And everyone thinks that they're doing it perfectly, but because everybody's doing it, it's becoming just so obnoxious.
Yeah. Show working on the knee in the ring with that stump puller knee bar, but Naito eventually gets to the ropes. Lung blower power bomb by Show for two. Hits a lariat, hits the cross arm pile driver. For two, Show calls for shock arrow, goes for it, but Naito reverses into an enziguri. It's a running destino. Both men are down. Naito with strikes to the neck, Show with kicks to the knee, strike, but Naito's fighting back more and more with more strikes, more of those back elbows to the neck. Naito puts him up top, hits the Frankensteiner off the top, or as Walker Sear called it, the Super Kenrana. I also like that name of it, the Super Kenrana. But yeah, the Frankensteiner off the top. Naito, more elbows, hits the tornado DDT. But Show ends up running Naito into the ref off of Valencia attempt. Hits the low blow, pushes him into the ref again. House of Torture out as the ref is now down. They gang up on Naito, start stomping him and beating him in the ring. But L.I.J. making the save, running off the members of House of Torture. And Bushi hits this sweet-looking suicide dive to Yujiro on the floor, just like a rocket, man. I love Bushi's dives. Sho gets the wrench as Naito is down. But as he goes to use it, Naito gets the pop-up into the low blow right there. Popped him up, hit him with the low blow. I love it. Looked like absolutely perfect. He gets the wrench.
Go to the ceiling and everything. Just the form. Yeah.
Just great. Gets the wrench, throws it away, hits
Valencia. Spit on it.
Yeah.
Spit on it first and then threw it.
He did spit on it.
That's respectful.
Yeah. Threw it away, hits Valencia, follows it up. Destino for the win. Good match.
I don't have anything to add to it, partially because we've been on here a lot longer than I expected and I need to go do stuff. But this match was really, really good. Despite the shenanigans were actually done right in this one, which was nice. There was just so much. I was very fearful of this match because do you know how I feel about Sho and his over animation? It's way too much at the best of times. But even though he was at some times a little too much, I feel like Naito's just got this like effortless charisma that is very cool and calm and very collected in very high intensity situations. And it leveled out Sho's kookiness and brought it down to a level that was, again, as I mentioned earlier, palatable for us to actually enjoy. And then seeing L.I.J. actually come out and help their member, you know, the Padre Filio Espiritu Santos, thank gosh.
Well, again, I thought, like, because Naito didn't respond to a lot of Sho's normal shtick. So it took to a different place of he had to kind of get a little more intense about things and not crazy about things because he couldn't, his antagonistic nature did not work with the calm and the destino or the tranquilo, that Naito is all about, right? Like that, when you got a guy who said that tranquilo, you have to find a different way to get at him.
Absolutely, absolutely, and it just wasn't enough.
Yeah. So, Naito does the sign off, does the roll call. We get out of there, and yeah, again, great spot. Everybody, the guy's raising his hand, all in the ring. L.A.J. minus Teton, all in the ring there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Teton. He is going to be on AEW this Saturday, facing off with Chris Jericho. And it's L.I.J. versus Chris Jericho. Again, I'm just excited to see Teton on AEW TV, man. Because again, this new CMLL partnership, I'm all for Teton being on there.
Yeah, me too. Obviously, 100%. But against Chris Jericho, that's a junior going against a heavyweight. You know how I feel about those.
Yeah,
does AEW just not have the junior division to have somebody face Teton on his like, wasn't Laredo Kid there?
Yeah, they don't have a junior division. They don't have a, like, they have, they, yeah, but, there's no junior division.
But, like, again, isn't Laredo Kid signed with them? Why can't he face them?
I don't know.
Kenta's there. Fenix is injured, but, like, there's no reason why Jackson broke. I mean, we know that they're not going to give Teton that win. Why not have him build up a Jackson bro? Like, they could probably use it. Like, what the heck? What does Jericho gain out of that win?
I don't know. Maybe getting himself a match with Naito at Forbidden Door. I don't know.
No, nobody wants to see that. No. Yeah, that doesn't make sense, but I guess that's Tony Khan and his infinite wisdom in booking. Way to go. Yay, Tony.
But it is time to get out of here. We've used up enough of your time, hour and 15 minutes almost here. So we want to thank each and every one of you. Thank you all for tuning in. You can find me on the X-Master on Blue Sky and Hive at That Canada Guy, TikTok, Instagram, and Threads at That Canada Dude. You can find me on Facebook at Andre Melville Racing Talk. And if you're not watching us on Andre Melville, you can find us on Andre Melville Wrestling Talk. You can find me on Backbreaker Video. You can find me on SNME Radio. Sunday Night's Main Event.com. Check them out for all the great audio stuff they do over there. Our shows, lots of great other shows covering all the facets of professional wrestling over there. If you want to support them, go to patreon.com/SNME Radio. You can find, and then I, wait, nope, there we go. That's the one. You can check me out over on twitch.tv/ourlocalestablishment. Tomorrow night, or if you're watching this on Thursday, if not, Friday nights, me and Melball, Japanese Wrestling Update. You can check us out there every Friday. Sometimes it's live, sometimes it's pre-recorded. We'll be live on the 8th, tomorrow, 8th of March. But we'll be having pre-recorded shows the next 3 weeks, because we're going to be at wrestling shows. Next 3 weeks. I'm not sure if I'll be at the 15 show, but that's where Mailball will be. So we're going to pre-record it for the next three weeks after that. So sorry about that. But yeah, check us out over there. You can also find me there doing the M's Marvel Talk and the MCU Rebound. Check us out. Ooh, I like that. Yes.
It's like the opposite of War Dogs.
Yeah, and then I don't know when our next episode's gonna be, because Ed's doing a lot of Wednesday night streaming his WWE 2K24. The next show back, we'll be doing Captain America: The First Avenger, on our way to getting to the Avengers movie, the first one. So on our rewatches, hopefully, the X-Men show is supposed to drop this month, so hopefully we'll be talking about that pretty soon. The new X-Men 97 cartoon. And also want to thank our boy Mike the Ref over at Backbreaker Video for simulcasting live stuff. youtube.com/@Backbreaker Video. Lots of great wrestling content over there. If you want to see Mike's live content, where he does AEW watch-alongs on Wednesday and Saturday and during every pay-per-view going forward, at least I think that's what he's doing, go to twitch.tv/MikeTheRef for all his live wrestling watch-along content. And he also has a lot of great gaming content on there. I know he's playing through MLB The Show 23, trying to finish that up before the new MLB The Show comes out. He's just starting up Tears of the Kingdom, which is a game series those two games I just can't stand. Those two Zelda games, just not for me. But lots of great gaming content over there from Mike. Check. And if you want replays, go to youtube.com/@Backbreaker_gaming for content from him, Mr. PJC, Mr. Rick Jules, and their freaking guest, Kayla J.
Kayla J. Love Kayla J. Why don't you ever point to your Rick Jules picture there?
Oh, Rick Jules?
Rick Jules? He started streaming again.
Yeah, I'm happy he's back on.
Yes.
Melball. Where can I find you?
If you're wanting to follow a Melball, you can find her on the X thing at Collins Melball. You can find her on everything else, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Mastodon, and Blue Sky at Melball.com. You can also find her, as Andre mentioned, on OLE podcast, where we do Japanese Wrestling Update. And again, as he mentioned, we are doing that tomorrow on the 8th. It will be our only live recorded one for this month. Another ones will be all pre-recorded, because wrestling. We love wrestling.
Wrestling.
And we're going to be seeing some amazing wrestling too this month. We've got a whole freaking month packed of wrestling. Anyway, you can also find me on Astro Bizarro. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Let's say lots of chop talk.
Lots of chop talk. Lots of chippity chops. And probably chops coming Melball's way, because if they're not good things I'm saying, I'm probably going to get hurt. You can find me on Astro Pizzola's YouTube channel, where we do our show Ladies Wrestling Showcase, where we sensationalize and talk about all of the ladies in professional wrestling. We're going to be having a new episode of that tomorrow at, I believe, 3 p.m. Mountain Time, going to be 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Where we're going to be talking about some of the stuff happening in Stardom. We're going to be talking about some of the events of the weekend. Some ladies won some big stuff. We need to talk about that. again, Astro Pizarro's YouTube channel. There, shout out the beautiful Natural. There we go. What else? If you're wanting to watch NJPW, we will leave a link in the description box below. It is njpwworld.com. It is 999 yen, or approximately 10 Canadian. Shout out Sean Spears, who is back in his home of NXT, and I couldn't be happier. Oh, yeah. Sorry. 10 Canadian, but approximately 750 Bata Canadian, because I check my bank account. It's still an amazing price to watch some amazing professional wrestling. If you want a taste of what you can enjoy, go to the njpwworld.com and you can watch some of the NJPW TV title matches to get a little taste of what it is that you would be in for. Andre.
And the second day of the New Japan Cup will be free on New Japan World. So check that out. There's some good New Japan Cup. We'll be talking about that in a couple days.
Even better. Andre, my trusted friend and colleague, do you have anything else to say to the beautiful people?
Not just want to say thank you all so very, very, very much for all the great support here. And don't forget, hit the like. If you're on YouTube, hit the like button, subscribe to the channel, comment down below, so I'm talking to you guys. Share us out to your friend, to everyone you know. And don't forget to hit the notification bell so you learn every time we drop a new video.
Ding dong.
And if you're listening to us on Sunday's Main Event Radio, please give us a 5-star review on your podcast catcher of choice. And if you want, please go over to patreon.com/SNMRadio if you want to support, help the group out. We would really appreciate it.
And that being said, I am your mama. Over there is Andre. We will see you next time. Adios.